Senate Education Committee come to order, please. Back to order. This is Friday, March 14th, 2014. It's 3:37 p.m. In attendance are myself, Senator Gary Stevens, Chair, Vice Chair Senator Dunleavy, and Senator Gardner. We have a quorum to conduct business. At this time, we'll take up Senate Bill 100 relating to education grants, correspondence study, and student allotments. We have a new CS for Senate Bill 100. It's version G.
President, I move CS for sponsor substitute for SB 100 version G as our working document.
Thank you, and I'll object for discussion purposes. We have version G before us. And Senator Dunley,
yes. Thank you. I'd ask that my staff, Sheila Peterson, come up to the testifying table and identify herself for the record and begin.
Thank you, Senator Sheila.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sheila Peterson, staff to Senator Dunleavy. The committee substitute changes begin on page 3 on line 28, and this change says that the individual learning plan that is with the correspondence programs must be developed.
I'm sorry, page 3, line
28.
28, okay.
And it adds the word and approval. And what this does, it says that the learning plan must be developed with the assistance and approval of the certified teacher assigned to the student. So that clarifies that when the learning plan is developed, that it will be assisted with the certified teacher, and the teacher will approve the plan along with the parent and the student. The next change is on page 4, line 8, subparagraph 6, that makes sure that the progress of the student work is monitored by the certified teacher that is assigned to that student.
And this is for correspondence study.
This is also for correspondence study. Yes, all the changes that were made to the CS were within the correspondence study program. On page 4, line 19, is inserting non-sectarian, and that's what the committee voted to approve last time, so that the materials and services that are purchased from a public, a private, or religious organization must be non-sectarian in nature. The committee substitute also includes the word public. That was an oversight when we made the first bill. So the vendors are public, private, or religious organizations providing non-sectarian services and materials.
And while we're there, just a brief definition of non-sectarian.
You're purchasing coursework that's non-religious in nature. In other words, not teaching religion, not spending public money on the concept of religious beliefs.
Okay. Thank you.
The next change is on the same page, page 4. It talks about on line 24, and it talks about the textbooks, services, and other curriculum that will be used in the learning plan. This language was taken directly from the regulations of the Department of Education, and it makes sure that the textbooks, the services, and the curriculum follows the guidelines that are appropriate for the public school system. That the textbooks go with the course of study and they're appropriate to the course of study. The textbooks and materials have been approved by a school district. They're appropriated for the age and the learning plan of the student. That they're aligned with the state standards, and that they comply with 14.03.090 and 14.18.060, and those are sections in the statute that deal with the fact that the materials cannot be partisan, they cannot be sectarian, and they cannot be any particular doctrine can be advocated. And they also must be non-discriminatory. The last major change that was in the CS is on page 5, line 8, and this deals with the allotments. In the original bill, the allotment could be rolled over from the correspondence study students from year to year. At the end of the time that the correspondence study was in the program, originally the money went back to the correspondence program. The change now is that the monies will go back to the school district and not to specifically to the program. It talks about on line 11 that the correspondence program must maintain a record of the expenditures and allotments. There was a concern expressed at the last hearing that there may not be as much oversight from the school district that individuals may wish. And so this says that they must maintain a record of the public funds that are being expended, and that a student's allotment may not be used to pay for services provided by a family member. And this language, too, was taken from the regulations that currently monitor the correspondence program. And those are the changes to the committee substitute.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheila. Any questions, or Senator Dunlap, any further comments or testimonies you may have?
Not at this point. I would entertain questions. There are some folks I think may wish to testify.
Okay, we'll get to that. Let's see. If there are no questions, we'll ask the department to come up and get the response. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
Hi, for the record, my name is Mike Young, the Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development.
Any reflections or responses you have to hearing this bill so far?
Chair Stevens, a lot of these changes are in responses to concerns I originally had that I shared with the sponsor. I think do strengthen this, because the sponsor, it seems that the sponsor's intent is to provide some flexibility for students who are proficient. I had some concerns that suddenly we would be spending public money for things that weren't educational. And so the adjustments to the changes here, including on page 3, that it would include the approval of the certificated teacher assigned, that's already in current language. Which I think is strong. We're looking for certificated teachers, teachers who are professionals, to be helping families, coming alongside of families, and making sure they're getting what they need. I think these changes, probably the biggest change here is on page 4, line 10, that allows the flexibility as part B there. Notwithstanding another provision of law, the department may not impose additional requirements other than the requirements specified here. And the idea there is additional flexibility, making sure that we're still focused on outcomes, but not as concerned for a student who's proficient on how they get there. The key part for me was on line 17, that in regards to student allotments, that money can be spent for the purposes of meeting instructional expenses for the student enrolled in the program as provided in this section. I think that speaks to my concern that we're focused on instructional expenses. And the clarity around here, a lot of these changes brought back in some of the language that's already in there in our current regulations that speak to that accountability. And I'm comfortable with that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mrs. Peterson, in talking about section, line 24 on page 4, reference the regulations of the department, and earlier we had talked about non-sectarian, and I think I understand that you're talking about that'd be non-religious. Mrs. Peterson also mentioned nonpartisan and non-discriminatory. Can you just help us understand now that already is in regulation, but help us understand what we are talking about here?
This aligns with what we would expect in our current public education system already with curriculum materials that a traditional school and a district purchases for their student. And it's in statute, the statute referenced there on line 29, that we expect when we send a student to a public school that we're not advocating a particular religion or a particular political party, and it's not discriminatory. So it simply mirrors what we have currently have measured in statute.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you, Commissioner. Before we go on, any other persons that would care to testify who are, and we'll have a public testimony in a minute, but from the School Boards Association or superintendents, anyone here care to testify to this? Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Bruce Johnson, and I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Council of School Administrators, as well as the Superintendent Organization. When our superintendents were in town here a couple weeks ago for their legislative fly-in, we talked about this issue, and at that point, the vast majority, and we had 30 of our 50 superintendents in town, along with some assistant superintendents, were favorable towards this bill. It's since been improved, and so I'm sure that has not changed. One of the major concerns during a couple weeks ago had to do with the purchase of services and materials, and when non-sectarian was added, and at that point in time it was the sponsor's intent to add that, so we were able to deal with that. So I think this opens up another door, much like some of the changes that are going on with charter schools and potentially increasing opportunity and choice, and doing so in a way that assures that money will be used wisely and young people will benefit.
Thank you very much, Mr. Johnson. Well, then, at this point, I'd remove my objection to adopting version G. Are there any amendments you have prepared? Okay, no amendments. Let's go to public testimony, beginning with Stuart McDonald at Quinnagown Borough School District. Mr. McDonald, are you with us?
Yes, I am, and I appreciate having a chance to speak. Thank you, Senator Stevens.
Thank you very much, Stuart. If you'd identify yourself for the record, and then just go right ahead.
Stuart McDonald, Superintendent of Schools for the Kodiak Island Borough School District. I just wanted to speak out in favor of the committee substitute Senate Bill 100, especially of the increased 1.0 funding factor instead of the previous 0.8. Just to give you an example of how that is going to make a difference, many of our correspondent students are in remote sites, and in order to reach those individuals and make the connections with them and support the families in their correspondence programs, our old believers, for instance, out over in Fogneck, we have to go in a boat and move in there and work with them. And it's staff, it's resources, it's engagement, but it's worth it, it's important, and that creates an expense beyond what most people think of in a correspondence program. And across Alaska, this isn't that unusual to see happen in our remote sites on how we serve our kids. This kind of funding will allow us to actually give parents and students better access to certified, highly qualified teachers to support them in their program. And we have also taken advantage in the past of Alaska Association of School Boards Consortium for Digital Learning initiatives. And this particular bill provides an opportunity for technology grants that have, in fact, helped us better serve our students by taking advantage of creative innovations and helped us learn and move forward. And so I'm very much in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stuart. So looking at, if you have the bill before you, looking at on page 4, the textbook services, curriculum, those are all things you do are doing now. Is that true?
Yes, it is. And we recently went through an audit in our tech, in our correspondence program, and there were some areas that we were found having not managed as well as we could have, and we've made our corrections. And under the existing rules, we have made those corrections, and for the most part, we are didn't have a problem with them, and we're adjusted and aligned to them now. And everything that's listed here, we're able to implement.
Thank you, Stuart. I hope the storm has passed in Kodiak.
It is.
Good, good.
Well, there's still a little wind out there, but it's calming.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Robert Wicker is from Eloy, Arizona, and with AASB. Did you want to testify, Mr. Wicker?
Senator Stevens, I signed up to testify for the record. This is Bob Wicker from the Consortium for Digital Learning, AASB. I signed up to testify, but mainly just I'm here to answer any questions regarding the bill, and particularly the personalized learning opportunity grant. I know that there's been one question that's been out there regarding choice of vendor, and I just wanted to add that the design of this one-to-one program that we have been working on over the series of years, we've designed it, but we've been listening to schools and school districts and school superintendents, and it's the intent of this one-to-one project to make sure that there is local choice as regards to vendors. As long as it meets the intent of the grant, which are general in nature, that means as far as vendors are concerned, they would need to provide a device that's full-featured and web-enabled and has some storage and can do productivity and creativity and those kinds of things, but not like an RFP would do, like a specific screen size or a specific storage size or whatever. This would allow multiple vendors to participate, and then also for them to be able to provide the amount of professional development and technical services that we know by best practices needed for this. That's about the only thing I have to testify about, but I'm sure open for any questions regarding anything else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wicker. Well, the issue of choice of vendors, can you help us understand that a little better? Where does that really originate? Does a student say, I want to take a class in medieval history or Latin, as the senator has suggested earlier, and then who goes about finding that? Is the student involved in that, or how do we find the right vendor for that?
Senator Stevens, the one-to-one initiative is really meant for a regular teacher integrating technology fully within their classroom. So as far as a project within a school district would be concerned, that district would be the one who chooses vendors. And basically when I'm talking about a vendor, I'm talking about a hardware vendor that would be able to provide the device, professional development, and the technical services that would make this one-to-one work within their schools and school districts. The curriculum, as far as what students would actually do within their classroom, would be determined by the district and the school and the teacher in the classroom.
Thank you very much.
Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you, Mr. Wicker. Any comments, questions? Thank you, Mr. Wicker. I move on to Angela Washington in Kotzebue from Alaska State School Board Board of Directors. Ms. Washington.
Hi, thank you. My name is Angela Washington, and I'm also a member of the Metro Friday Greensboro School Board District as well. And I called in favor of the SB 100. And I don't want to repeat anything anybody else has said, but just the reality of what this can do to a school in rural Alaska. I had the chance to see a science lab, you know, and it's something that we in all of our classrooms may not have ready access to, but it could be a digital science lab. And so it's something I'm really excited about and I wanted to testify for. And I also have the ability to see through our IT department was an app for our teachers to actually control the use in the classroom from student to student. So they would have the ability to lock one program in and maintain that classroom versus having kiosks and having control over what the students are on. So we've looked into this and we've done some research and I'm really pleased with what the outcome could be for our students, especially in rural Alaska. So that's what I called in for today.
Thank you very much, Angela, for your comments. Michelle Hand in Palmer.
Hi, thank you for listening today. I was calling to say that I am definitely in favor of the Bill 100. I appreciate the increased flexibility that using the allotment funds, the rolling over of the allotment funds will give us. I also appreciate the idea of the receiving 100% of the student-based allotment. And there was nothing I was going to mention. Sorry. Yeah, the flexibility of choosing the vendors and then the carrying over of the allotment. I think that's going to give not only flexibility in choosing the vendors, but I think that gives us from year to year, if the allotment rolls over, more flexibility in choices that we make. You can make a bigger long-term plan for the child as opposed to being limited to a certain amount per year. For instance, let's say my child was, we had the things we needed per year as far as maybe already using for the academics, but maybe I wanted to open up some doors of opportunity that maybe a normal allotment from that certain year would open up. For instance, they wanted to do welding as well as maybe take an increased science lab or music lessons. When you put all of those together, it very easily can extinguish an allotment and then leave you in a negative. So in that way, if we could roll over the allotment per year from year to year, years, say, in elementary and junior high where you don't need as much necessarily, depending on your ILP, you don't necessarily need as much funding as you do in high school years. It opens up doors of opportunity there. And just to let you know, I'm a homeschooling mom. We've been homeschooling for about 23 years, so we've kind of been doing this. We've used many different programs, a bunch of different curriculum, and I appreciate this bill because it's going to open up some opportunities that we've had to say no to in the past.
Thank you very much, Michelle. It's a pleasure to hear from someone who is homeschooling their children who has used this this program, and thank you very much for your comments. Let's move on to Peter Heffner from Cordova. Peter, are you with us?
Yes, Peter Heffner here. I'm the school board president for the Cordova School District. Also, more importantly, I'm a dad to two daughters here in high school who have grown up in our town of Cordova. So from my point of view as a parent, as well as a school board member of 8 years, I see how important technology is to educating our children, keeping them engaged in school and preparing them for the future. Cordova, Senator Stevens, as you've personally seen, is a fully one-to-one laptop district. We started in 2005 with 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, and over the years have fully gone one-to-one. Presently, second grade utilizes iPads, and the kindergarten through sixth graders have individually assigned computers on their cart so they can take ownership of the device. The seventh and twelfth graders have laptops that they can take home. Even our school board has gone wireless. Our board packets are digital. We're saving costs. Minutes are posted on the website. It's accessible to all, and more community members are aware of what is happening. Technology does work. our students also are mobile. Living in a rural setting, students travel extensively to participate in student activities. And while traveling, students are able to be connected to school through their technology, completing English blogs on ferry math assignments, and bringing home science experiments. Even students taking extended leave in international countries have kept up with coursework and advanced placement classes, completing blogs, etc., maintaining A's with the use of school technology. Technology surrounds us. Our children need to be able to use technology both as a resource and to be competitive. Technology invigorates the students, the classroom, and the teacher, the direction the world is going. We need to embrace both our future, which is our children, and technology. I fully support AASB's one-to-one digital initiative and SB 100 through its amendments. I believe it is good for all of Alaska kids. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Hefner. I appreciate your getting with us again, and thank you. Steve Bradshaw in Sitka, are you with us, Superintendent Bradshaw?
Yes, thank you, Senator Stevens. This is Steve Bradshaw, Superintendent of Schools for the Sitka School District. The Sitka School Board stands in support of SB 100. We are anxiously awaiting its passage and hoping that we have the opportunity to get one of the grants and move forward with the one-to-one initiative. So we would appreciate your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Any further testimony to come at this time? Thank you. Senator, any comments?
This is for the chair. SB 100 is a bill that attempts to incentivize and support individualized learning approaches, distance delivery approaches, innovative delivery system approaches through its grant programs. It also recognizes that we have homeschool correspondents in the state of Alaska that are not necessarily the traditional concept of a homeschool correspondence program, but, for example, we have some programs in the state that are blended models in which students can be taking courses at a, quote, homeschool correspondence program, but also be taking classes at the local high school or a local college. And so, again, it's to support those individuals that are independent learners. Technology is going to help those with personalized learning, and so I'd urge support for the bill. I think it's got support across the board, and I think it's going to engage many more students in a lower cost type of approach, as well as engaging more parents in the public education system.
Thank you very much, Senator. We will keep the public testimony open and hold this bill to come back to us very, very soon. If there's nothing further to come before us, we're...